All right, if you have your Bible, turn anywhere you want to, it's all good. It really is. You got a King James Bible, amen. Luke chapter 15, and I hope you won't let the familiarity of how familiar this is dampen what you're getting ready to hear. And I'm probably going to go a route you probably think I'm not going to go, but I trust the Lord will use it to speak to our hearts this morning. Good to be in service today. Good to be back at Grace Baptist Church. And man, what a joy it is to be here this morning. And I want to say this. This is one of my favorite places to come. You'll say, everywhere you go, not your favorite? No. But this is, I mean that with all my heart, and what a joy it is to be here this morning, be with your preacher and his wife, the church family, and it's so good to be with you in service today. I'm excited about it and my heart about what I believe the Lord's going to do this week, and I want, along with the pastor, encourage you to be here tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, and Monday night. So anyhow, did I get that right? I didn't get that right, but I believe I got them all in there. Don't miss the service. We're going to have a good time around the Word of God this week, and I hope you'll be here every service. I'm looking forward to being here and seeing what the Lord has for us and seeing what the Lord's going to do, and I hope you'll be here and be in the service every night. And also, along with the pastor, I really, really hope you'll try to find somebody lost and bring them with you to church this week. I hear people talk about nobody getting saved in these days. One of the reasons we don't have people saved in this day, we don't have many professing lost people coming to church, and it didn't used to be that way, but it's that way now. So I want to encourage you to bring others with you this week, and let's trust God to give us a great, great week around the Word of God. And it's such a joy to be here and be with you in service today. I am humbled and honored to stand behind this pulpit. I love your preacher. I love hearing him preach. I love hearing him teach. And I mean that with all my heart. You have a precious man of God for a pastor. And he loves you. And he feeds you out of that book. Gives you something every week. And I appreciate him. And I appreciate him allowing me. And also allowing me to come and preach in his church again this year. This is my 18th time I preach behind this pulpit. Let's see if I got that right. Yeah, 18 times. And you say, why do you count them? Well, I write down everything I preach. Because if you go back to the same place year after year, you better write it down. And do you hate hearing a repeat? And but anyhow, I hope you'll be here every night. And it's such a joy to be here this morning. I was thinking why Brother Preacher Jacob, did I get that right now? Is he the one? He's the one called Preach, right? Man, God bless you. My daddy said, I'm happy for you, but I feel sorry for you. But anyhow, that's what my daddy said to me 50-some years ago preaching. But anyhow, I'm telling you, it was worth the traffic jam. And Charlotte just come here, him and his wife play this morning. I mean that. I really mean that. That was great. I love hearing them play together and doing a good job. Then the young people singing this morning. Wasn't that great? And just great this morning. Then my wife singing this morning as always. I enjoyed that. And it's such a joy to be here this morning. Now, I think we probably ought to just go ahead and ordain Brother Seth. My wife whispered in my ear, said, I hear some preaching that. Amen. And brother, you've done a great job teaching Sunday school. I enjoyed that. And good job. I sat there thinking about how I could preach on that next Sunday. And listen, that was great. I enjoyed that. I sure did. And doing a good job teaching on those three Josephs in the Bible. I love the name Joseph. That's a good Bible name. Amen. And my name is Joseph. I'm telling the truth, that's my name. It really is. And Alan Joseph. Then I had a sister. Joseph Allen's what my name is. Then I had a sister named Mary Alice. And Joseph, and she's my twin sister, by the way, and she's in heaven now. But anyhow, good to be here and good to be in service today. And I enjoyed the good Sunday school hour. I'm in a different church every week. And last year I preached in 75 churches. And I want to tell you, when you go in a different church every week and hear Sunday school, it's interesting. The Bible's a pretty good thing to teach, amen. And Luke chapter 15, I want you to look there with me this morning. And let's stand for a word of prayer. Luke chapter 15. I want to have prayer with you. Now I'm going to let you sit down, and I will be conscious of the time. And I preach now by Alabama time. There you go. Is that okay?
That's all
What time is it in Alabama? 25 minutes to 11. I didn't mean that. You'll leave before I get done. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us this morning. I sure do need you today. Lord, I can't remember when I started a revival on what I'm getting ready to preach on this morning. I have preached on it before, but never starting of a revival. And I pray, God, that you'll help us this morning. You'll speak to our hearts today. May all the will of God be done in this service today. I realized this morning, before I ever thought about this message, and before you ever put it in my heart, you knew who would be here today. You knew what they would need, and you knew what would need to be said. And I pray, God, you'll help us this morning to be a blessing, to be a help. I pray you'll anoint us with the power of God. And may all the will of God be done in the preaching of the Word of God today. And Lord, just in a few minutes when we give the invitation, God, I pray that somebody will be saved by the good grace of God today. I pray somebody will come to the Savior and do business with God even this day. May all the will of God be done. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and sit down, because I want to talk a little bit before I read this morning. When you come to Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 15, and Luke chapter 16, you'll find those are interesting chapters. Now, for instance, in Luke chapter 14, it talks about earth's madness. How Luke chapter 15 talks about heaven's gladness. How Luke chapter 16 talks about hell's sadness. And how true that is this morning. And when you come to this chapter I'm getting ready to read today, you'll find this one story with three parables. He's given a story here, and it's got three parables in explaining that story. And let me just say this morning when you come to this chapter today. Basically, these three parables today, and the one story with the three parables, is talking about lost people and lost things today. The word lost simply means this morning, place. It simply means misplaced. When you study about lost in the Bible, you'll find it's mentioned 32 times in the Word of God. And when you talk about lost here in this chapter this morning, you'll find the sheep was lost, how the silver was lost, and also the son was lost. If you study this morning, you'll find that the sheep was lost in a distance. The silver was lost in the dust. But the son was lost in disgrace. And how true that is today. And he's illustrating, he's talking here about lost things today. And in the beginning of this chapter this morning, the Pharisees questioned that. And what he done, he takes his chapter here and gives that one story with three parables today to illustrate his point today. And let me just say this today. I'm glad God loves sinners today. Hallelujah. I said I'm glad God loves sinners today. I don't care who they are, where they're at, what their name is. I'm glad God loves sinners today. And I bless his name for that. Look in Luke 15, if you will, please. Notice in verse number 11. And I'm probably not going to preach this the way you think I'm going to preach it. But I promise you I'll preach the Bible. Okay, here we go. Bible said in verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, give me the portion of goods that follows to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. I notice it's the younger son, not the elder. The younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Can I say this morning? You don't want to go there. You don't want to go to that far country. Many go there and never gets back. Into a far country. And thou wasted his substance with riotous living. Bible says in verse 14, and when he spent all. And by the way, that's what the devil does. He gets it all. He gets it all, and he spent all. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Man, I can identify with that. I've been saved a long time, but I remember before I got saved. And the devil always takes, he never gives. He spent it all and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Let's read the verse right. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swines. What a terrible thing for a Jew to do. They had no dealing with the swines. Notice the next verse. And he would have fainted, he would have fainted, having filled his belly with the husk which the swines did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's a good place to get. How when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants, how my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise, I'll go to my father, I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me, and notice this, make me as one of thy hard servants. I got to move. I can't say all I want to say about that. Look at the next verse. And he arose and came to his father and went as yet a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he says in verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and now no more worthy be called thy son. How about the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring thither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. I'll take these verses today and talk to you a little bit this morning on what the prodigal found at the father's house. Hey, what the prodigal found at the father's house. Have a series I do out of this chapter. I have several messages I preach out of this chapter. One of the messages I preach is simply this. What the prodigal found in the far country. But I don't deal with the negative side this morning. I don't deal with the positive side. And what the prodigal this morning have found at the father's house. And basically what I'm going to say this morning has to do with the attitude of the father today. Thank God for a loving heavenly father that cares about you and I today. And if you notice in this text, and I'm not going to preach this, notice in verse number 12 again. Paul said in verse number 12, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. It's a long ways from give me. Look at verse 19. Bible says in verse 19, make me. It's a long ways between give me and make me. How? Are you listening to me? You say, what's the difference? An eternity. It's not give me, but it's make me this morning. And when you study this morning, you'll find he's come to himself. He realizes his condition, and he's come to himself. As a matter of fact, he realizes he's now hungry, he's now homesick, and now he's homeless, and he's away from the Father today. And he comes to himself. And let me just say this to you today. Hey, thank God I'm glad he can come home. At the Father's house, hallelujah. Hey, there's help at the Father's house this morning. You see, out in the world, all he found was misery. But at the Father's house, all he found was mercy. And I would say, thank God he come to the Father's house. Now, I want to get right into the message, because I could preach a long time, but I'm not going to. I want you to notice this morning what he found at the Father's house. Look at verse number 20. Bible said in verse number 20, and I'll say this before I read it. If you're away from God today, you're in a good place. You're in a good place to get right with God. I say, if you're away from God today, thank God God's got you here for a reason this morning. I don't know how many times I woke up last night. And nothing wrong with the bed. That's one of the best beds I've ever slept on other than mine. And nothing wrong with the prophet chamber. I told my wife last night, I wish everywhere we went was like that. I'm telling you, it's nice. It's wonderful. And by the way, God's stuff ought to be first class. And so it is. But during the night, I don't know how many times I woke up thinking about this message. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, that's really not what I start revival on. And he said, you disobey me. And I said to myself, I said to the Lord, I said, do you reckon there's going to be somebody in the service tomorrow that's away from God? Do you reckon there's going to be somebody in the service tomorrow that's not where they ought to be with God, and they headed for the far country, or either they're in the far country? And the Holy Ghost said, you just be obedient. You just do what you're supposed to do, and what I tell you to do, and everything will be fine. And I'll say to you this morning, if you're away from God today, thank God you come home today. Are you listening? Hey, you'll get things right today. Are you listening? I want you to notice what he found at the Father's house. Look at verse 20. Bible said in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. And when he's yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I would say, first of all, first thing he finds at the father's house, hey, he finds love. Isn't that wonderful? I said the first thing he found at the Father's house, I thank God he found love. And I thought about this when I said in this week, the Father kept the door open all the time. Though the Son was out in the world, though the Son had messed up, though the Son was out in sin, I thank God he kept the door open so his Son could come back home. He kept the door open the whole time. And I thought about this. I can just see that Father in my mind. I can see him praying. I can see him. He's beginning to meditate about his Son. And the Bible says in verse number 20, how he arose, how when he saw him a great way off. When he saw him a great way off. By the way, there was never a time he wasn't on the Father's mind. Father had him on his mind and his heart. And when the Father saw him a great way off. I can't get off of that. When the Father saw him. I said when the Father saw him. Can I tell you something this morning? I don't care where you're at, he sees you today. I don't care what you're going through this morning. Thank God he sees you this morning. Father, when he saw him, a great way off. And I want to say, I never will forget before I got saved. And I don't have time to tell you all that, but I'll tell you the Father saw me the whole time. You know, my wife and I talk about this quite often. It's a miracle I'm even here. I done some pretty dumb stuff where I got saved. And you say, what'd you do? I'm not going to remind you of it. And I'm not going to remind God of it because he's forgiven me. But by all reason, I could have been killed many times. But when the Father saw him a great way off. Hallelujah, thank God. I say when the Father saw him a great way off. And notice what it says in the verse. And he arose, came to his Father, and when the Father saw him a great way off, his Father saw him. He had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. He didn't only have compassion on him, but notice what he does. He runs to meet the Son. Father never did leave home. He runs to meet the Son. Hear me this morning. And by the way, if you're studying Bible times and Bible customs of that day, and mannerisms of old people in that day, the old man never did run. You don't find that anywhere. Nowhere in Jesus' time do you find the old people run in. And by the way, it'd be a good thing if old people didn't run today too. But anyhow, listen to me. That was very uncommon. That was very uncommon for him to do that. But when he saw him a great way off, thank God he saw him and he ran, thank God. Hear me this morning. I'll tell you what he found. When he come to the Father's house, hey, he found love. Though he'd wasted everything, though he spent everything, though he'd done all that, hey, thank God the Father still loved him this morning. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're in this service, and you may be listening to radio today, listen to me. I don't care who you're at, what you've done. The Father loves you. Hey, the Father sees you and the condition you are. He loves you this morning. I'm telling you today, he cares about you. And though this Son had wasted everything, though he brought shame on his parents, but the Father still loved him. Though he'd wasted it all. By the way, you know what prodigal means? Wasteful. And he wasted it all. And can you imagine what it did to the heart of this Father? Notice the verse again. And when he saw him yet a great way off, he ran a great way off. He saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck. And watch this. And kissed him. I'm talking about love. Are y'all hearing me? He kissed him. I'm not no Greek scholar, Hebrew scholar, but I looked that up. And you know what it means? It means he kept on kissing him. He kept on, fell on his neck and kissed him. Not one time, two times, kept on kissing him. My little great-grandson Ezekiel, he's been here before. And when Ezekiel gets ready to leave my house, Ezekiel says this, Papa, I want to hug you. And I want to kiss you. And he always kisses me on the jaw. But he don't do it one time. He just keeps on doing it. I let him do it as many times as he wants to. Are y'all hearing me? Hey, I'll tell you, the Father, thank God. Hey, the Father's love. He saw him where he was at. He saw him this morning. I say, when he got to the Father's house, he found love. Thank God. Hear me this morning. Didn't matter what he'd done. Hey, it didn't matter where he'd been. I'm just telling you this morning, the Father, with outstretched arms, he welcomed him back home. The Father's love was endearing. The Father's love was exciting. The Father's love is unexplainable. Hey, the Father's love embraced this morning. Then I want to say quickly today, when he come to the Father's house, he found love. And I'll tell you one more time, God doesn't put His approval on your sin. God doesn't put His approval on you out there on the far country. But I'll tell you, there'll never be a time that He'll not love you. There'll never be a time that He's not concerned about you. And if you're in this service today and you wandered far away from God, thank God you've come home this morning. I say He found, first of all, He found love at the Father's house. But then I want to say number two this morning, He didn't only find love at the Father's house, but I'll say to you this morning, He found the Lord. And let me explain that. Have you ever been, He found the Lord? Have you ever been looking for something and found something else while you was looking that you wouldn't expect to find? I have a coat I put on when I get done preaching. I'll wear it this week probably. Of course, I've got a long drive every night. But I put it on because I get wet sometimes with sweat. And it's my preaching coat I put on when I get done preaching. I put it on this week while I was preaching, Thursday and Friday night of this week. And I ran my hand down my pocket. And to be honest with you, I was looking for a gospel tract. And I keep tracts in my pocket. And I ran my hand down my pocket to get a gospel tract. And preacher, when I pulled my hand out, there's a $50 bill come out. I don't have a clue where it come from. And I shouldn't have told that. My wife, she'll be wanting that. And I didn't have a clue it was in there. And I pulled it out and I thought, my soul, there's a $50 bill. Hey, can I tell you something about this son? He didn't only find love at the Father's house. He found the Lord. But let me tell you what he's looking for. When he come home, he's looking for a roof. Yeah. But he found redemption. He's looking for help. But he found the greatest helper in the world. He's looking for food. But he found fellowship. He's looking for a bed to sleep in. But he found blessings. Hey, hear me this morning. Through that, he found the Lord. And by the way, I'll say this to you. The son was the one that was lost, not the father. I said the son was the one that was lost, not the father. And I just want to say thank God. Hey, he found the Lord. Had he come home and found the Lord? Are you listening? And notice this. It's interesting this morning. Verse 17. He has, first of all, look at verse 17. Bible says in the verse, and when he came to himself. Can I tell you something this morning? You'll never get right till you come to yourself. You got to realize, and by the way, this flesh, it's just old flesh. And it's hard on the flesh to admit it's wrong. Hello, Tokyo. It's hard to admit that we're wrong, especially man. And the Bible, boy, I didn't get no amens out. If I'd been a woman, I'd said amen right there. That lady's shaking her head. Are you listening? It's hard for men to admit that. But the Bible said here in this verse this morning, before he had to come to himself. He had to realize his need. He had to come to himself. Can I just say this to you real quick this morning? If you'll come to yourself, realize the need this morning. It's not nobody else's fault. Where you're at, it's your fault. And if you'll come to yourself, hey, you'll find the Lord. He'll change your life, thank God. He'll turn you around. Yes, He will. I'm telling you, will. Notice the verse 17. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And I'll perish with hunger. I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned. And notice how he says it. I've sinned, number one, against God. Heaven. That's what he's talking about. And I've also sinned against you. But I've sinned against God. And God, I tell you this morning. I want to tell you when you realize that. Hey, if you want to find the Lord today, realize where you're at today. It's not your mama's fault. It's not your daddy's fault. It's not your brother's fault. But it's you, dear friend. I will tell you, it's me. It's me, oh God. Hey, he found the Lord when he come to himself. I made a profession of faith. Probably when I was about 14 years old. And the reason I did that was to get my mom and daddy off my back. My daddy was an old-fashioned preacher, priest, and pastor churches. 55 years. And boy, I used to thank my soul. I can't believe my daddy preached 55 years. Now I'm preaching 50 years. Amen. I don't feel like I'm a bit over 30. And I lie about other stuff too, but listen to this. what I started to say was simply this. Hey, I made a profession of faith. 14 years old, 13, 14 years old. And I did that to get my mom and daddy off my back. And boy, I lived like a devil. I got baptized. I went down to the altar. And when I went down to the altar, everybody in that mountain church come around there and prayed with me. I'm talking about the whole church gathered around me and called on God. I walked down the aisle lost. I bowed in the altar lost. I got up lost. I didn't go to get saved. I went to get mom and daddy off my back. 2 weeks later, the preacher took me over on the creek, baptized me, and I went down the water and I was lost. I knew I was lost. He baptized me. I come up, I still lost. So the church of Christ. If they don't get born again, amen. All right, listen, it's not amazing, spacious, amazing grace. And I want to tell you, I lived a wicked, wicked life. I was 18 years old. But I want to tell you, 18 years old, I came by myself one night and realized I was going to go to hell, realized I was lost, realized it's my fault, it's my problem. I come to myself. Are you listening? And I'll say to you this morning, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want to say if you're here this morning and you know where you ought to be with God, can I just say this real quick? Go ahead and admit that you need to, it's you. Do business with God, it's you. Are you listening to me? And I love his confession here. Did you know the Father never even permitted this son to finish his confession? He immediately, here's what happened. He immediately forgave him and he immediately ordered the celebration. Bring it on. We're going to have a time. Are y'all hearing me? I will tell you this morning, hey, he found the Lord. He found love. Number three, quickly, he found laboring. You say, what did he find when he come to the Father's house? He found labor. And look at verse 22. Bible says in verse 22, and the Father said unto the servant, bring forth not that old shabby robe that you wear in the bathroom, not that old tattered, torn, dirty. I love it. He gives us the best. Look at the verse. And the Father said unto the servant, bring forth the best robe. And put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring thither the fatted calf and kill it. And and notice that verse. Bring forth the fatted calf. Notice that statement. The fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. I want to say he found labor. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, the son didn't do nothing. The father done it all. The son didn't pay for nothing. The father paid for it all. Y'all wouldn't mind if I stopped shouting, would you? I'm about to get happy. I won't tell you nothing in my hand I bring sifted to the cross I clean. It's not what I can do. It's not what I say. But thank God it's a father this morning. Oh, hear me this morning. Laboring. The father paid for it all. The son had nothing to give. The son was in a mess. How about the father at the labor and he paid for every bit of it. He paid the servant. He paid for the robe. And notice it's the best robe. And put that robe on him. And by the way, that's not the first time that's mentioned in the Bible. That's also mentioned in Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve had sinned, and after Eve had sinned, and Adam willfully entered into it with her. You say, Adam sold us out. Well, his wife did it first. And he followed her. He didn't want to be separated from his bride. Hanging on the cross, and I don't have time to preach it. He don't want to be separated mid-bride either. But listen to this. After that, Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, there was an animal slain. There was bloodshed. Guess who killed it? God killed it. Guess who shed the blood? God shed the blood. And they took the animal's skins and clothed Adam and Eve. You say, who did that? God did that. Salvation's of the Lord this morning. There's nothing I can do. All I can do, thank God, is turn us to sinner God. I do the rest. Oh, you listen? And I thought about this when I studied. He found labor. And in other words, every bit of it was paid for by the Father. The Father took care of every bit of it. And may I say to you this morning, that's what happens when you and I get saved. The Bible said he put a best robe on him. For God had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God with him. I tell them boys in jail all the time. I preach in jail every week when I'm at home. And I tell those guys, I said, how would you like to take your dirty garment? How would you like to take your dirty sins? How would you like to take your dirty robe and do away with it this morning and let somebody clothe you in the righteousness of God? Your sin will never be brought up again. Hallelujah! Your past will never be brought up again. I will tell you, for God made him to be sin for us. If you don't sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm wrapped up in his righteousness. When God sees me, he don't see what I was. He sees his son. And I'll say to you this morning, the robe, what a wonderful message. Then he said, put a ring on his hand. By the way, that ring stands for sonship. He said, put shoes on his feet. Our shoes on his feet simply stands for service. And then he said, bring forth the fatted calf. And the fatted calf simply stands for fellowship. By the way, can I tell you something real quick? This father had tremendous faith. You say, how do you know he had tremendous faith? He said, bring forth the fatted calf. Now, you don't just walk down to the stable and get a fatted calf. It's got to be fed. And don't you know that father in his mind says, my son's coming back some of these days. My boy's coming home some of these days. And when my boy comes home, I'm already have the calf ready. I done got it all tucked out. I'm going to have it fatted up, ready for him to come. Hear me this morning. I believe this father had faith, thank God, that his son would come back. And he had the fatted calf ready for him to come home. Hallelujah. How you find labor in the father. Every bit of it was on the father, not the son. The father took care of every bit of it this morning. And by the way, can I say this to you again this morning? If you and I are saved by the grace of God, that's how we're saved. It's not what you can do, what you don't do, can do, or don't do. It's what he's already done. Man alive, listen to me. If it was a work salvation, we'd all be in trouble. My question is simply this. How much do you have to work to go to heaven? Number two, how much do you have to sin to be lost again? That's just about as dumb as a stick. Try to fit that in the Bible. I started in jail Friday. And I started in jail. I'm a chaplain in jail now, hurry up. And I started in jail and the officer met us. A little lady, one of the officers met us. She was just glowing. I didn't tell Mom about this. She was just glowing. And you know what she'd done? She'd led an inmate to Christ. Yeah, I'm talking about one of the officers in the jail now where I go while I'm the chaplain. And she was so excited about leading that inmate to Christ. Her co-laborer that was with her was sitting over here on this side. He was rejoicing too. But he said, you know what? He said, there's only two things. And we talked about, I told her, I said, hallelujah. He's saved forever. He's saved forever. He'll go to heaven. He's saved forever. But that other officer said this. There's only two ways that you can lose your salvation. Number one, commit suicide. And number two, blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Ain't either one of them true. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? And I will tell you this one. I got to get off this last point. Listen to me. He found the Lord. I'm telling you, he found the Lord. Hey, the Lord did it all. He did it all. Hey, under the law, listen to this. Under the law, that boy should have been stoned. Under the law, Deuteronomy 21, his family and the families in the neighborhood had the right to take that boy and stone him. But can I tell you this morning? I will tell you, he didn't get married. He got mercy, thank God. He didn't get what he deserved. He got the mercy of God. And you're not ashamed. That's what happens. Oh, he found the Lord. And I want to say to you this one. That's the greatest day in my life. The greatest day of my life, the 22nd day of October, 1970, about 9:45 on a Thursday night. I want to tell you, my girlfriend back there was with me that night. And I'll tell you the great, hallelujah, I'm about to get happy. Hear me? He was standing out with outstretched arms, waiting on me to come. I want to say he found the Lord. I want to say he found love. He found laboring. Sad to say, he didn't find love. He found the Lord. At the Father's house, he found laboring. But sad to say, at the Father's house, he found lukewarmness. Isn't that sad? You would think everybody would be excited about somebody getting saved. But I'm not going to go into this because I don't have time. Verse 25 and following, you'll find the elder son. Oh, he was not happy at all. And can I tell you this morning? You can travel into a far country and never leave home. Y'all didn't get that. You may be in this service today and you're in a far country and you're still at home. And by the way, the difference in the younger son and the older son, the younger son was lost in sin. The elder son was lost in self-righteousness. Yeah. The elder son kept the father's law, but he didn't keep the father's heart. Are you hearing me this morning? And by the way, by law again, there should have been a funeral. But instead of the funeral, guess what? There's a feast. Hey, I said, are you hearing me? And that tore that elder brother's gallbladder out. He said things about his brother here. Now, we're not going to take time to read it, but if you read verse 25 and follow, and I read again this morning, here's what you're going to find. He's going to accuse his younger brother of doing some things he didn't even do. He said, well, he devoured his living with harlots. Nowhere does the Bible say he done that. He was in a far country. He messed his life up, but it didn't say he devoured himself. Are you listening? Oh, listen, that you're talking about bitter, friend. Oh, this, everybody ought to be excited when somebody gets saved. I said, everybody ought to be stirred up and excited when people get saved. My first church where I went to school 3 years. I didn't pastor it. They wouldn't let me pastor it. And I did real good. I was the greatest thing since gravy train when I took that church. Until people started getting saved. And when people started getting saved, all Hades broke loose. Are y'all hearing me preach? What happened was these people outside of their perimeter, they had a little mile perimeter around the church, and nobody was to attend that church except those in that community. And when folk outside of the perimeter started getting saved, I'm telling you, the great tribulation broke out. Are you hearing me? And it's the same deal right here with this elder brother. He's so jealous. He's so eat up with bitterness. Are you listening? He kept the Father's law, but he didn't keep the Father's heart. And I'll say to it again. There really should have been a funeral, but instead of funeral, thank God there was a feast. And I'll say this to you this morning. When you get right with God, get right with God. The benefit of getting right with God. I want to show you what happened to the prodigal. I'm going to read it to you right now. Here it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's with me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Listen to these benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with love and kindness, and whose tender mercies. Then he goes on to say in the next verse 8, how the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenty in mercy. Verse number 10 says, He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth... Hey, I can't help it. Are you listening to me? So the Lord pitieth them that fear of Him. But the mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And then he goes on down and says in verse 20, bless the Lord, all you angels. Bible says in verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all His hosts. Verse 22, bless the Lord, all you angels. You know what he said? That's what happened to the prodigal man. That's what he got, the benefits of coming home. I say to you this morning, if you're not right with God, hey, the benefits is out of this world if you just come home. Amen. Amen. Why should God... Somebody come to these instruments so I quit preaching. But why, I'm serious, somebody come piano so I quit preaching. Why should God, just come right on, ma'am, don't play, but just come on. Why should God forgive us? I want to ask you a question. Why should God forgive any of us? What have we done to merit anything of the love of God? God could have forgot about every one of us and still been God. But you know what? He didn't do that. I'm telling you, and I am not a Calvinist, but I'll promise you before the mud seals of this world was ever laid. Are you listening to me? God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost had a meeting in eternity, neons of eternity past, and it was determined that Jesus Christ would come, go to the cross of Calvary. Somebody said He searched all over. That's not true. He didn't search nowhere. That's all taken care of. Are y'all hearing me preach? I'm telling you, some good Bible preaching does away with some singing. Are you hearing me? He didn't have to search anywhere. I just want to say to you this one. Thank God. God give His Son, even before the foundation of the world, that He would come and go to the cross and die. And whosoever will trust Him can be saved by the grace of God. Lord, have mercy. That excites me. Man. I don't deserve that. God would have been just if He'd never had a second look at me. Are you listening? Amen. But you're talking about a picture of the Father. You're talking about a picture of the Father. Right there it is. He found love. He didn't deserve it. He found the Lord. He didn't deserve it. He found somebody else's labor. But He didn't deserve it. I'm seeing all kinds of things. He found lukewarmness. I want to ask you a question. Again, I told you before I started preaching, I had no idea why the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. All I know is He wanted me to preach it. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach it. If I know it's God and I got the green light, hello, here we go. Because I got to go down here and lay down this evening. And if you lay down disobedient, you ain't going to rest much. So I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I want you to stand with your heads bowed. She's playing right softly. Father, in Jesus' name, would you this morning speak to hearts today? Lord, to start a revival, I've never really used this thought, but you put it in my heart, and I pray you'll help me this morning. And I pray you'll help those that might be in this service. Maybe that's away from God this morning. And perhaps there very well could be, I have a number this large, good number in church today, good crowd. And out of this number, there very well could be a boy, a girl, or mama, or daddy, has never truly, truly, truly been saved. Lord, the only thing worse than being lost in sin is lost in self-righteousness. And there's a lot of folk in our churches today. I'm convinced, Lord, I'm convinced of that. Lord, that's one of the greatest mission fields in the world inside our churches. Folk that are lost. And I pray for somebody here lost this morning. Help them see their need of God. If they'll do like the prodigal, the younger son, come to themselves. Allow God to speak to their heart. Get rid of their self-righteousness. Get rid of all the do's and don'ts in their life and just come as a bankrupt sinner. Lord, they can be saved. Speak to hearts this morning. Speak to hearts today. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. I want to ask you a question this morning. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Are you listening to me? If you died right now, at 10 minutes after 12 o'clock, if your heart ceased to beat, your blood pressure drops, and you fall dead where you stand, would you go to heaven? You say, I would. What are you basing it on? Are you basing it on Calvary and what He did for you? Or are you basing it on your good works? I'm a good fellow preacher. I do this and I do that. That's not what saves you. I'll tell you, this son had nothing. The Father provided it all. If you're in this building this morning and you're not saved, you're not sure, will you right now let the preacher myself pray for you? All I want you to do is raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Are you concerned enough? Let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you and I won't come to you. I'll pray for you if you're not saved. I'm looking right now. Anybody? Anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? I wonder if I preached to somebody this morning. And you, maybe you're not plumb out in the world, but you're headed that way. Your thinking's that way. You're studying about that. You're not where you ought to be, and you know you're not where you ought to be with God. At that son, oh my soul. You can preach it either way, backslid or lost it. You can preach it that way, but listen to me. If you're here and you're not where you ought to be with God, I'll tell you, the Father loves you today. He'll help you if you'll let Him. Would you just raise your hand and say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not where I ought to be with God, and I know it. I'm not as close to Him as I ought to be. God spoke to my heart. Will you pray for me? I see that hand. I do see that hand. I see that hand back there. I see that hand right over there. I see that hand back yonder. Are the others? I see that hand right over here. Are the others? Are the others? I tell you what, let's do. We'll take just a minute. You that raised your hand, why don't you come to the altar and let me pray with you this morning? I'll pray for you if you don't come. But you know what you ought to do? If you really mean business with God, won't you make a way down front? There's something about coming to an altar. There's something about using an altar. Right now, you that raised your hand, won't you meet me in the altar right now? Let's have prayer. Come on. I'm waiting on you. We'll pray. Come on. That's it. That's it. Come on. Others. Others. While God speaks to hearts. Others this morning. And by the way, if you need somebody to pray with you, if you're in the altar, you raise your hand. Others this morning. You that raised your hand, there were several. I'm looking. Are you coming? Now, Father, help us today. Jesus paid it all. All of Him we owe. Lord, sin messed us up, but I'm glad You washed it whiter than snow. And I pray for these that's come to the altar. I pray for others that's already come, went back. I pray for some that raised their hand, it's not moved. Lord, I pray You'll work in their life, do that that's needed. I'm so glad there's some good things at the Father's house. If we'll only be obedient, come to ourselves and allow You to work in our lives. Help us today, meet every need. May all the will of God be done in Jesus' name.